Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As a matter of fact, it's back, it seems like. I possibly have that walk-in pneumonia again. So anyway, hopefully this isn't the year of pneumonia, especially when I'm heading into some surgery. Most people know I've got a procedure coming up, but on the 29th, which is when I'll be out for that, we're going to actually start the ratification debates. So diving into the content of the ratification debates is, as far as we're concerned, is paramount. We need to understand how the Constitution was defined, and so we're kind of, you know, take, not an aside, but we're going to take focus, and so coming in with marketing information and or questions and ideas, we will get to them. As a matter of fact, we've been hit a lot by people that have been directed to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org by Trevor Lawton. There was an article, and so I was actually going to just play the article or the show that I had already recorded for yesterday, as you know, so let me get to that. I had an important appointment, so I already pre-recorded, sent it off for playing, but that's okay. It didn't get played, didn't get uploaded. But anyway, I'll just take the hit on all of this, but what I was going to play, I decided to actually, you know, not play that. It's gone. That's because we've got new things that have unfolded as of yesterday on Tuesday, so which Tuesday, March 9th. Anyways, what I want to do is I want to kind of get you all caught up because we need to give you some advance notice as to an upcoming petition. And what we need to do is we need to do this really quickly. We need to get as many signatures on this upcoming petition. But before I get into the petition, let me kind of close up. I've had a lot of people send me emails. Not too many people have contacted the comment line, 425-270-5416. That is on the website. And so maybe people have called, went straight to the message, and then didn't, you know, leave a message. That's fine. It is what it is. But anyway, Trevor Lawton wrote an article, and you need, you need to actually see this, read this, and share this with people, because as a New Zealander, he provides a 9-step plan of what it would take to actually save the Constitution. Step number 6 is Republic Review. Yeah. So, and Trevor Lawton has been an ardent supporter. He's, once we talked about what we're doing and I gave him context to it, whether he completely understands and understands context, it doesn't matter to him. I mean, he has that faith in looking at it, and he understands that this is not an Article 5, you know, petition. And he also understands that Douglas Gibbs of the Constitution Association and other people actually recognize the legitimacy of what Republic Review would do. And so, you know, he has this firm conviction that Republic Review is the only process, and it really is the only process, because as Madison says, the states must, plurally, the states together must interpose with the federal government. And I've actually bumped heads with people on this for years. And the evidence is overwhelming, but people tend to ignore the evidence because it doesn't fit their narrative, or they just, you know, can't see the forest through the trees for whatever reason. I don't know. I'm not here to give everybody excuses. I'm here to say, if you were a patriot in this republic, You're not a patriot. If you think you're a patriot, you are not a patriot unless you are fully supporting the Constitution. And when I say fully supporting it, I don't want to hear lip service for the Second Amendment. I don't want to hear lip service for health freedom. I don't want to hear lip service for abortion and the life of a baby. We embrace the full concept of every aspect of that Constitution, that the government is responsible and accountable to stay within that framework. They take an oath that they must support this. And therefore, when you look at abortion, health, freedom, and all of these other things that are violations of the Constitution, forcing the federal government into compliance makes those problems go away. You want to be myopic and go off and fight some little appendage or some little fingernail of the federal government? You will win nothing. You will get people to support it because it's a passionate thing, but it will not solve the problem. Only Republic Review solves the problem in forcing the federal government to undo its mandates for abortions, undo its mandates for health care and Obamacare and all of these things that they have been doing, period. And that can only be done as the states assert that. You want to understand this process? ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. Go there, right there on the homepage, we have the argument for and the process describing what it is. If you want to get into the details, by all means, if there's questions you have that we're not covering, because we're really putting it out there. There's not much more. There are some things like, what does it take to get there? Well, we've got to get states elected. There are several different steps and several different endeavors that need to be moving forward. This is why we are working with the National Liberty Alliance, because the National Liberty Alliance basically has, their focus is the grassroots game. But we're trying, and we're working with them in maintaining this level of autonomy so that they don't necessarily are directly associated with, you know, any other groups. What they need to be, and what the way it is currently being designed, is they are the group that is to plug into your county. For you to make a constitutional county, there are certain things that you have to do. You have to recognize that there has to be a militia. Currently, right now, because the states aren't sanctioning a militia, the way of becoming a constitutional militia is you have to have a sheriff that recognizes that he is supposed to have a militia accountable to him, both organized and unorganized in accordance with the Constitution. So the sheriff needs, and so we're going to be introducing the framework at the county level of what really needs to be done so that you can actually sink your teeth into this process. Okay? So this is really, really, really important that we, you know, help you understand where this needs to go and what and how you can get involved. We're actually, you know, if you have an Oath Keepers group, if you have any group, that's nice. But we're not cherry picking. We believe we have to be fully on board with supporting the Constitution, every aspect of the Constitution, not just our gun rights, not just, you know, these little myopic issues. That's why I get so frustrated when I'm dealing with people that are so heavily vested, they consider themselves patriots, but they're not supporting the Constitution. By definition, a patriot is somebody who supports, by definition, supports their government, their country. In America, the framers did not want people to blindly follow the country, the government, the person in charge. This is why they mandated an oath that everybody, even citizens, must take an oath to support the Constitution. Therefore, a real patriot supports the Constitution completely. If it is not constitutional, we need to stand up and be vocal about it. Abortion is unconstitutional. The federal government has no jurisdiction over life. It is not within the enumerated powers. Not even so, the Bill of Rights, just to be clear, the Bill of Rights is not a door of enumeration. It is very specific limitations placed on the federal government that they can't do these things. They can't do these things. They can't use those to say, you know what, because it seems like you wanted us to have this hands-off approach of privacy, then we basically see a way to allow, you know, women to go into abortion clinics to have abortions. No. No. That is not what the Bill of Rights is about. The Bill of Rights is strictly a negative placement upon the general government for this very specific power. They can't expand it. If they want to add a right of privacy for life, health care, and those types of things, then submit an amendment. We can add another restrictive amendment. But the government can't use very specific restrictions placed upon them to expand how they can use those as fulcrums to get their fingers and tentacles into other issues. This is how they've actually gone in reverse by establishing, in violation of the First Amendment, the federal government has violated the Establishment Clause by establishing a secular church. Yes, they built a secular church without even putting brick and mortar together by coming around and saying, you cannot put your Christian God before. In other words, they are making laws that infringe upon our right of religious expression because all things must be secular. Well, therefore, that means that they've had to create a religion of anti-Christianity. Bottom line. Anyway, I got a lot more to cover, because we've got a lot of updates to give you, then we're going to get right back into the need-to-know news. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so, as you know, we have some news for you. So, we already told you the status. You know, if you go on the petitions page on reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will find the current status of that legal action. Congress has been served, both the House and the Senate. What I want to tell you is that we are having a new petition. As you know, the federal government is trying to dance around this amnesty play, Biden and the Democrats, the communist government that is in action today, is trying to legitimize this invasion. We've mentioned previously, that we've got to stop calling illegal aliens illegal aliens. See, if there are Chinese or what have you from other countries that are somehow getting in via the shipping and or air, you know, coming here with a visa and then staying, those are illegal aliens. People coming across the border in defiance of our laws and coming here and demanding access to unconstitutional government, then they are invaders. They're seeking their, you know, their ability to access us politically. That is a political combatant. They are invaders. We cannot consider this, you know, just a casual, one person at a time. They're coming up in trains, literally. They're coming up in trains, as we've seen in the past, and they're coming up in caravans. This is a wave that is a political combatant wave that is trying to overtake our Constitution. I find it reprehensible that there are people, because I do understand church's responsibility. The church's responsibility is to, you know, save people. I get that. But when a church basically says that we must ignore the laws of the land and give aid and help these people without, you know, without the cognizance and without the recognition that our laws are being broken, and clearly the Constitution states this, that Article 4, Section 4, that the United States guarantees to each state a republican form of government and shall protect each from an invasion. Well, they're not doing that. And so what Bob Schultz is going to do is he's going to actually petition Congress to do their job in supporting and fulfilling their oath of office. So this is how it needs to lay out, that we're going to call upon them to do their job and fulfill their oath of office by stopping this rebellion against the Constitution and protecting each state in accordance with Article 4, Section 4, from this invasion. Therefore, in accordance with Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, Congress must, capital M-U-S-T, must call for the militia as directed by the Constitution, that they shall have the power to call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasion. So the emphasis is the repelling the invasion. They must do that. They don't have any other course. We have laws of uniform immigration on the books. We do not have, and nor has there ever been an amendment to the Constitution to grant political asylum. Show me in the Constitution where that power directly was granted to the President or Congress. Political asylum is not an action delegated. The states must take a stand and say, where did we give you this? You may have the right and the control, because initially the states actually had control over immigration. It wasn't until 1808 that they had the control over the importation of people and the setting the standards for immigration. But to classify somebody separately from an immigration status, to basically bypassing the uniform laws, they must amend the Constitution. It's pretty clear when they had to change the language in Article 2 for the choosing of the president, they had to amend the Constitution. Where is the amendment to say we don't need to, you know, amend the Constitution for minor changes to the enumerated powers or enumerated processes? No, that's not there, my friends. We have to hold them accountable. And so they've gone so far outside the framework of the Constitution. They believe they can do anything and everything when we, the states, and the people have the power. We're going to do this petition that is going to be calling for Congress to do their job and that they must fulfill their oath. That language will be in there. And we know that they're going to ignore us. And after so many days, I believe the time frame is like 30 days or what have you, then we will then sue Congress for in the federal court system, just like we're doing now, for failing, and we're going to ask for a summary judgment to not only order that the militia be called to the southern border to stop this invasion, and secondly, to actually deal with the invaders in this country, and thirdly, in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, we're going to call upon the Supreme Court to remove all Congress members and all court judges who have failed to support these constitutional standards of protecting the states from an invasion, and secondly, as well as using the militia to do so. We're not playing, you know, softball here, friends. We're playing hardball. We have a Constitution. It is our weapon, and we are going to use it. And so, it's also our defense. Only a fool goes onto the field of politics and doesn't use the supreme law of the land. Only a fool goes into politics and decides that they can promote their agenda. This is one of the reasons why we constantly point our finger of judgment at the party system, the uniparty system of the Democrats and the Republicans. And the Democrats and Republicans have allowed these other parties to be formed as factions to help divide us, because as long as we further divide ourselves, then we will be conquered. Bottom line, united we stand, divided we fall. And so we are being conquered because of our division. This is why I am advocating and so vocal about the Constitution Party, getting people to look at the Constitution Party and let's talk about how it needs to be changed. We've got to get rid of the laissez-faire policies of a party. A party has every right to have full control over anybody wearing its brand. If they do not support their oath of office, the party has and should have the full privileges of removing those people, even if they have been elected by the people. Those people have bought into the party platform, and what the party represents. Therefore, the party can use its brand as a legal weapon to remove any person that has failed to fulfill their oath of office. And only the Constitution Party is willing to go down that path of holding these people to their oath of office and supporting the Constitution. Only the Constitution Party wants to see the Constitution fully complied to and fully supported. This is why I think we need to put the pressure on the Constitution Party. If you're a Constitution Party member, if you're affiliated with the Constitution Party, take heed and take this message forward. The Constitution Party must be on the top of this mountain, not just the high road, the top of this mountain. They need to be very definitive, and we will hold them accountable whether this is constitutional or whether this is constitutional. And as a matter of fact, I believe that the party is in the best position to be that advocate for the Constitution. Why? Because they're a nonprofit organization, and they are not an agenda organization like the Republican Party. The only way we know this is in their platform, in their messaging. Currently, their platform is their messaging, but they need to get rid of that. They need to clean up their platform to make it very simple, that all government must be in compliance with the U.S. Constitution, period. I mean, that would be the simplicity of the Constitution Party platform. And then getting into its mission of how to obtain compliance, the only mechanism is what GR refers to as Republic Review. And if you look at the process, and this is why, you know, I constantly point to Madison and Jefferson and how they felt the only way the states would have, and Madison said in the Federalist Papers that the states possess the advantage. They clearly do, because it is their compact. They have the legal, the legal advantage, the high ground in the contractual fight. It's their contract, and they're the ones to determine what that contract really means and says. Not the Supreme Court. These are Madison's words. These are Madison's official words as well as unofficial. And bottom line when it comes down to what the states or what the Constitution means. The states must, in contract law, they must use the ratification debates. This is why when people feel like I'm picking on them for citing Federalist Papers and not citing ratification debates, is because they don't understand that one little nuance. The ratification debates are the legal definitions and terms of the Constitution. Now, when we look at the Federalist Papers, they're insightful, but these are just insightful letters that help people understand what's going on in the ratification debates and what that Constitution means, but these are not definitive testimonies to the states for the states to buy in. That's why the ratification debates are that important. So, anyway, we still got some more stuff to go into, and we will be right back. Then we'll dive into the marketing. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so once we get these petitions out and up, Bob will have it posted on his website. We will also have this petition out on Reclaiming the Republic. We are going, as a matter of fact, what we're going to do is, I haven't sent out my constitutional minutes for this week. So what we're going to do is I'm going to include this very important message regarding this petition coming up. And we're going to ask state legislators to actually go and sign this petition so that they can actually stand up for their constituents and demand the federal government comply to the immigration laws. This way, we have not just one signature. When we have one person signing and sending this petition to Congress, then what we have is we have one person representing 14,000, 20,000, 50,000, however many that one legislator represents. And so, because why? Because we're a Republican form of government, and our representatives actually do and can speak in this capacity regarding the Constitution for us. We need our state legislators to petition. So this is why, if you're not aware of the constitutional minutes, we have them on the constitutional articles page. If you just scroll down a little bit, you'll find this big red letters, Constitutional Amendments. Go down to the bottom, and the last one, and that'll be the ninth one that we'll be posting this information. Then, when we post the, when we post the actual petitions on the petition page, then we will ask you to actually direct by contacting your representative personally and saying, instead of me signing this, I want you to sign this because you represent all of us. We need to turn up the heat. Now, so here's the big question. Does your state legislator, is your state legislator in my queue for Constitutional Minutes? Excuse me. If you go online and you look at on Facebook which states are getting my Constitutional Minutes, then you will actually know whether your state is getting it. But because some of you don't, and you know, don't have Facebook, I understand. So here are the states that are getting it: Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, the Senate only in Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Tennessee, and the Senate only in Utah. I need your help in Pennsylvania and Utah to get me the state legislators' email addresses, if you would please. We also are sending these to Wisconsin and Wyoming. So if I didn't mention your state, that means I don't have their email address. And if you would help me, this is how, this is that little piece of the atomic particle that you can be, that you can be that atom in this neutron bomb that we need to set off in as the catalyst in forcing compliance. We all can be weaponized by using the Constitution. We all can make a difference. This is why I go through the marketing. How bad does it really have to get before you're willing to get involved and help a little bit? I understand the government is going to try to come after constitutionalists and those who speak against the government as in support of the Constitution. See, I'm not just speaking in partisan against the government. I am speaking against all unconstitutional. What I'm saying is I am speaking against illegal government, and the illegal government is trying to protect itself from us. This is why we better get savvy, we better get smart quick, because if I go to jail or something happens, then who do you have to blame? Not me. I'm doing everything. You realize I'm risking everything. What about you? Where are you? Can't, you know, they say that in a room of real champions, in a committed room of athletes, when one person stands and rises to the occasion, the true athletes, those true competitors, those true champions all stand, you know, because that surge of courage by one actually rises the group. I am asking every patriot in America to get involved. This is why we're methodically working with other organizations. We're methodically working in solving this problem. We appreciate, and as a matter of fact, there's a gentleman, and forgive me, Tom, I didn't ask you, but I'm going to mention your name. There's a Tom that's reached out. He talks about history and all these other things. That's nice. We can get into nuances over all sorts of things. But, you know, if you want to contact me, you've got a question about our solution, or you've got another idea, what would you do? Then tell me, what would you do? How would you do this? Because bottom line, it's easy to judge others, and it's easy to tell people that they're stepping in the wrong direction or they're on the wrong path. But if you're not on the path and you're not leading and you're telling me what I need to do, then, you know, I'd say, okay, I hope you're ready to listen to, you know, the missteps that we've had in the past and why we're on the path that we are on. Because I've actually looked at every attempt and every type of effort that has been, you know, anything substantial in trying to get the federal government, but there has never been an attempt to get the federal, you know, get their federal government off our necks, off our backs, but there's never been an attempt to get the federal government back into the bottle, getting the genie back into the bottle, making them comply. The last time this was attempted was with James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. What they ended up doing was they created a party to save the nation, and they were successful. But we don't have a Thomas Jefferson and James Madison today. And what we do need is leaders like myself and those others who are joining me, and I could give you a list of names, but I don't have that much time. So bottom line is, we need you to join and get involved. If you think we're doing something wrong, by all means, send it to me. I'm busy. I may not respond immediately, but I will respond. Anyway, so we have, I do have rough weeks ahead between now and the 29th. I've got different appointments and these other things to be ready, but I need to go through this upcoming procedure, just because if I don't, my health and, things are going to get worse. And I was having a conversation with somebody today, and I realized with technology today and how we can go through, some of these almost very simple procedures, and it changes the outcome of the rest of our lives, because, some things could actually become a death sentence back in the old days, but not anymore. We're in a position where we have the technology to allow us to thrive, to our greatest potential. Anyway, with that, I just want you to know that what I also want to tell you is that in my discussions with constitutional professors and constitutional scholars, I actually have an interview recorded with Dr. Vile. I have not played this in a couple of years, but Dr. Vile, who is he? He's the Middle Tennessee Dean of Political Science. He teaches, and he's a prolific writer on the Constitution. This man is, he knows more than I do. And he's read a lot. But here's the interesting thing. In this interview, as we went back and forth, and it took me about 3 days. I think I get it boiled down into 2 days when I do the interview now, because I pretty much take out the promos and the other things just to try to condense it down for you. But in this 7-part interview, what I did was I actually got Dr. Vile finally into, and I don't want to say I got him into a corner, but he didn't want to really answer. He's the epitome of a professor, because he wants you to come up with the answer. He doesn't like people, saying, what did you do? What would you do? But bottom line, I did that. And I said, bottom line, what is it? What would you do? Would you support Republic Review, or would you support another path? And so he came right out and said that he would support the Constitutional Convention. And that is because he understands that the Constitutional Convention really won't save the Constitution, or won't disturb his train of money. You've got to understand that these professors are receiving grants and billions of our tax dollars going out to all these education vestiges. He actually talks about how controlled they are with their curriculum and everything else they have to teach, or they lose their federal funding. Why are they being funded? Well, so anyway, when you start really looking at why people make the decisions, bottom line, most of the time I've recognized that people are in a self-preservation, position, because, they don't want to cut their nose off to spite their face. But this is a really, really good interview. It's a really good insight on, Madison. As a matter of fact, sometimes I get dyslexic. I think at one point in time I talked about Madison's report on the resolutions, and I think I referred to it as 1880 when actually it was 1800. But anyway, obviously this is an insightful. So we'll probably play this, and we're going to do this really more for your understanding of why, the one thing I want you to point out, or one thing I want to point out, and I'll probably say this a couple of times before we play this, is he never refutes Republic Review. Got to point that out. He can't refute it, but but he would rather support a convention of states. We will be right back with more when we come back from these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll probably end up playing that interview when I have some back-to-back doctors, tests, and those types of things. Because bottom line, I don't have anybody, and I may actually call somebody and might have somebody do some fill-ins. To where, you know, I actually have somebody that, you know, kind of uses the format. I'll lay it out there, and they can kind of just speak and record and send it to me so that we have, like, a guest host. I've never done that before, but what I should have, and I've already got a week of the ratification debates, and last time we did the ratification debates, it took about 7 weeks, because we go through all of them. And it's important that you understand how each state addressed and why they addressed it the way they addressed the ratification of the Constitution. We had, I want to say, 6 states were slam dunks. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're also going to be giving you the information ahead, like I said, on the petition drive. So without any further ado, kind of let me jump forward. I want to thank you for tuning in. And I also want to let you know that this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. Here in the last segment, I finally get to the obligatories. And you know you're listening to the only show that provides the academic solution and so forth. And oh, by the way, I know everybody else is talking about it. I talk about this all the time. There are consequences for your decisions. You have to understand that when you are living in a hard, structured paradigm, there are consequences for your decision. And a hard, structured paradigm is if you smoke cigarettes, it will cause harm to you. And as far as I am concerned, if you smoke cigarettes and, you know, for any long period of time, and you can actually determine people that smoke cigarettes for, you know, 5-10 years, you know, in their youth, and then they quit, there's a good likelihood that they won't have any health problems, but that's no reason to start smoking. The fact is that you shouldn't. And so, you know, there should be some level of consequences if you end up getting lung cancer. And so bottom line, there are consequences to your decisions, and society is not here to bail you out and to take away the consequences of your sin or your actions. Now, why am I saying this? Because Meghan and Harry, in, you know, deciding to get married, that line of children, if they chose to have children, their children would not be in line for the crown, period. Because there are very specific standards, and I believe Scotland Yard is the one that actually controls that, but it doesn't matter. You know, when you go outside the approved lineage of, you know, having children because of love, then that's great. That becomes a fairy tale romance that goes off somewhere else, and you create your own kingdom. And now I guess it might be, you know, somewhere in Reseda, California. But bottom line, for somebody to come in and feel like they are going to be full-blood royal, this is a paradigm that Americans really have a hard time with, because we shed ourselves supposedly from this. But the fact of the matter is, when we looked at John F. Kennedy, when we've looked at the Roosevelts, America for some reason felt that these people were like saviors or like monarchs. The Clintons believe that they're a monarchy. The Obamas believe they are a monarchy. Does Trump and the Trumpets believe that he's a monarchy as well? We need to shed this paradigm. This is antithetical to our Constitution, and patriots do not believe that a bloodline or a person is that important. Only the Constitution is. So anyway, let me just move forward. And so in many of my responses, when I read these, you know, G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News or other news bits and tidbits out there, you know, I may commonly ask about, you know, where's the lawsuit against the federal government for mandating these electrical standards? Like in one of the last shows we talked about, that, you know, the debacle that happened in Texas and people died. Where are the lawsuits against the federal government for doing those types of things? But actually, I want you to understand the real answer that you need to ask yourself is, what is it going to take for me to get involved? Do we have to allow people to continue to die? I want you to understand that only the government has, you know, they're never held accountable to the deaths they cause. Do you know the CAFE standards that they introduced to supposedly create better gas mileage and to reduce emissions? The CAFE standards that they mandated actually caused safety, you know, safety problems, where more people died in car accidents because of CAFE standards. You realize that government constantly makes decisions and puts us in harm's way. You got to understand this. Okay, so this first story we're going to get into, you know, basically it comes down to this. Communism does not trust people or society. They must monitor you constantly. And I want to take this, if we took this onto the other side of the spectrum and the Puritan model. Puritans believe that people must be protected from themselves instead of protecting government from the people. Because, see, communists, they know you are the threat. But the Puritans understand that the vices were the threats. They have a very similar paradigm. They wanted to monitor. They wanted to lock down. They actually wanted to get rid of alcohol. They want to get rid. That's why blue laws existed. Go do the research on blue laws and look at communism and look at how the two different ideologies, even though they support constraint or control and compulsion, what they try to do is different. I mean, the Puritans don't try to compel and force the people. They just try to actually get rid of the bad things that they find. And here's the interesting thing. You know, the Puritans have empirical data that actually proves their case. In other words, alcohol, tobacco, these things are bad for you. A Puritan would say these things should be illegal. But the problem with that, with the abolition movement, is we prove that you can't just make things illegal. You have to help educate people to bring them to the moral high ground of getting away from those things so that they don't harm themselves. The best way to do that is to stop softening the consequences. So if you drink, you smoke, you should have to pay for your health care problems. You can't? Okay, well, keep continue drinking to put yourself out of your misery. Because bottom line, society should not be fulfilling or actually taking away the consequences of your bad behavior. It's the same thing with drugs. It's the same thing with all addictive behavior. Okay, so anyway, back to communism and trusting society. G. Edward Griffin reports, more than 200 million cameras have been installed across urban and rural China that are not only monitored by the police, but local residents also may view the video through a device on their TV sets and smartphones. The purpose of this is to allow anyone to monitor the activities of their neighbors and report any criminal activity that is socially incorrect. Now, I want you to understand. Well, I'll get into it. The program is dubbed Zulang Project or Sharp Eyes Project, a reference to a quote from Communist China's former revolutionary Mao Zedong, who wrote that, quote, the people have sharp eyes, close quote, when looking out for neighbors not living up to communist values. Now, I want you to understand that if there was a resistance within the communist government and giving people access to this, what would be happening is this resistance would be using these monitoring tools to make sure that they're covering their tracks, to make sure that they're not being exposed. So this would be actually good and could be easily exploited and backfire on the Communist Chinese Party. If you know anybody that's involved in the resistance within China, I'm sure that this is probably, they are using this so that they can make sure that they're not being identified, so that they're not being visible to those sharp eyes, okay? But here's the other thing. Cameras are going up all over America. And so by whom and why are these going up for? I mean, in other words, who are the entities putting these up? You may even want to know, you know, what are they doing? How are they using these cameras? But I want you to think about it this way. What is it going to take to get you involved? Because ultimately, these cameras will become owned by the state. As people put them up for their own good intention, for their own security, these cameras will be seized. They will be tapped into. They will be used one way or the other because government has all the force necessary to get you to fulfill whatever it is they want. If you're a business, they'll come in and shut you down unless you give them access. They have all the force, the legal and lethal force they believe. Even though they're violating the laws and the supreme laws of the land, they don't care. They're creating their own. They've got their own house of cards, and they're creating their own laws. They're making it up as they go along. And as long as you play their game, we are going to lose. This is why going into court and over an issue they have no sovereignty over, you're done. You will lose because they have taken your sovereignty, the state's sovereignty, from us. That's why I'm G.R. Mobley, and we're reclaiming the Republic. And we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.